to wrong growth, to wrong sense of success in God's kingdom, was for us to be known for loving God. We talked about, Mark Dever talked about churches that love God, love each other, will be characterized by people that follow Jesus. Now, some got a little hung up in saying, well, what are you saying when you're saying, well, you have to love God before you love Jesus? I got it. We're on this side. There's Jesus here now. And we cannot see God without thinking about Jesus. I got that. But remember, we asked you this question. I said, when do you take things apart? And you said all kinds of answers. You said when things are broken. You said when you're curious about them. When you're trying to understand how they work. And you also said when you value something. When you value something. And for all those reasons, broken, curious, need to understand, above all, part of loving God is saying, let me look at this again. And so we're learning the difference between biblical theology and systematic theology, okay? Biblical theology doesn't mean we're biblical, all right? Learned that a long time ago, Bible college. Biblical theology, there's a discipline called biblical theology where you start from Genesis, and progressively, what do you learn? Don't add all the other stuff you know through scriptures. You start back in the beginning, and you think, what are we learning about God right here? What do we learn about relationships in Genesis? Do not add the rest of what you know. It's progressive. And so what we were saying is we're looking for what we could pick up about what loving God looks like just by going back to thinking, so what did those in the Old Testament, what does it mean to love God? Apart from you thinking, Jesus came and died on the cross. I've got some articles here that if we have time, I might read them to you. This is going to sound heretical, but you need to stop just thinking of Jesus as the one who died on the cross for you. You say, well, wait, that's what he did. One of the reasons you're not following him is you're not seeing what he's come to do, and that was the key. You said that's the pinnacle of his love for us, but that's also why you're not living for him today. And that's why we want to back this up and say, what do you think we gained in the last couple weeks as we talked about loving God? Can you remember anything? I'll refresh your mind if you can think, but the last couple weeks, if you would sum up anything, can you even like scrape the cobwebs away and think, what did we talk about that was part of loving God? Do you remember? Can anybody tell me anything we talked about the last couple weeks? Go.
Well, he created us.
Right?
At the beginning.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes. Yep. Yes. Yes. So it's a slow process. If you remember we put up some of those words again of what it looked like to be able to grow in love for God. Do you remember anything else we were talking about? Anything? It's okay. One of the reasons we go slow, some of you get it, some of you don't, is because I think it takes us a while to find out where it's going. Now, some of you will say, I don't care where it's going. Well, you realize I think that's the problem. That's the problem. When you don't care and say, I don't know what you're talking about, but we need something else. All right, that's part of the problem. If you remember, all right, can I refresh your mind with this? Do you remember we looked up about 10, 15 verses in Jeremiah, and what were they talking about? Blurt it out, no microphone. What were they talking about? We don't appreciate what God is doing for us, okay? Here, okay. Just go back and do it for a little and see if you can remember. Go, Jeremiah 6:10. Read it. You got it? Read it. OK. Okay. Keep going. Okay. You just looking at that verse, okay, what do you learn about not listening to God's word? Why? You got to look at the words surrounding it. What do you learn about why? Or what's accompanying them not listening to God's word? There you go. There you go. That we want to do what we want to do. We're not listening. Reproach. What do you think of when you hear reproach? Blurt it. All right, put in my place. All right, help. Then how would you define what it's saying there? The word of the Lord has become a reproach to them. So kind of like you feel if somebody slaps your hand. Is that what you're going to say? Is that what, like a sting? Like I step back? What do you think? What do you got there? What does reproach add to that? They're not listening. Come on. What? All right, consequent. The word of the Lord has become a consequent. Okay. All right. Yeah, that's it. Right. But in there, I'm thinking the way that they're saying it that way it's detestable to them that's because of that. Jonathan, what are you thinking? All right. So offensive, that's what I thought, is if you come slap my hand, it's like, whoa, wait, why are you doing that? Who let you do that? That's not your place, right? So all of a sudden, the word is not having a place in there. It's more than just they can't hear it because they got their own agenda. What? Yes? Okay, now foolishness is just, all right, you can believe that if you want. But see, what I'm trying to point out to you is when you go, you're not listening. See, here's where I get touchy. I am not God. I am not always right. But I think when people don't want to listen to me, they'll say, you're not God, you're not always right, and they move on. Fine, that's me. But what about God himself? When they say his word is not listened to because it's offensive. And then you go, well, I'll listen to God, not you. See, if not, prove it to me. Prove it to me. And then this is the long train that we were working on here. I'm going to go a little bit into the train. I'm not going to recreate the last 3 weeks. But I want you to follow this. It takes a little while to hear the scuttlebutt around. And thank you. When you don't talk amongst yourselves, I can't figure out what's going on. So you don't talk to me. Don't talk to each other. But this whole thing of I don't get it and I don't need it, that's the problem. That's the problem that we're talking about in here. You don't love God. You go, I love God just fine. I just don't need what you're talking about. That's what he's saying. You might not need what I'm talking about, but at some point you have to think, how are you different than these people who are, if you keep going in here, you'll find they worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You find all this stuff. These people aren't just godless. All right? The prophet says they're godless. God says they're godless. They think they're doing just fine. And they think it's just the prophet's problem. What happens to Jeremiah? See, we don't have a deep, I don't think most of us, can you tell me the difference between Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel? And don't just say they're different books of the Bible. What do you know about them that differentiates who they were, where they spoke, how they were treated? Okay? And what they struggled with. There's only little glimpses in each one, meaning I struggle with that. And go ahead, you can know more than me. That's not what a pastor is. But what we're saying is if it doesn't make sense to me and I don't like what I'm hearing, then it's not necessary and it's not God. Whoops. Okay. Never take in what a pastor's saying just because it's a pastor. We're not looking for that. But we are saying that attitude of, I don't get it. Remember what I said. If we're not looking at the notes, if we're not talking with each other, if you're not talking with me, you're not having the heart of a disciple. All right? Nobody's asking you to surrender your mind, your conscience, anything like that. We're asking in a slow, drunk way to bumble towards listening to God's word. Okay? Jonathan, go.
Yeah, it... That also makes me think of the John 6:60. Hearing, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?"
Right.
And Jesus asked if it offended them, and then they left him. And like we see here, it's they're hearing what it is. It's not a ignorance thing. They're hearing the teaching, and they're saying like this is hard, and not that it's hard to understand, but like this is
hard to live. Right.
And it becomes offensive to them.
Right.
And we see the same thing in Romans 1:32. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things but also approve of those who practice them. So it's a willing rejection, and it's offensive to them, and they, though they see it, they want no part of it.
Right. You see what he did? I just read the first verse, right, that we went through 3 weeks ago, and he just went to 18 verses ahead. I read you 18 verses that are talking about this kind of stuff. And he compared John 6:60 in my list, 18 verses later, and then he went to Romans 1:32. Okay? Now listen, just a couple more to make this point, all right? Jeremiah 6:19, it's right. Darren, read that one to you if you were still there. Yeah, go ahead, give me what, don't just tell me they didn't listen. What do you learn about how they didn't listen in there? Tell me what else.
They were afraid.
They were afraid. Okay. Okay, the Lord is going to come and destroy, but look in there. Therefore, hear, O nations, know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth. All right? Think about when you tell your children, listen to me. What does that say by the time you say, listen to me? Okay? All right? Behold, I am bringing disaster on this people, the fruit of their plans, because they have not listened to my words. As for my law, they have rejected it also. Sandy, what are you thinking? Right. 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 People have asked, how does John David get in conflict so much? Remember what I've told you? Whatever's my personality, not right all the time. I said, I ask three more questions than you ask. When you step back and go, whoops, this one's getting a little weird. All right. I just go a couple more right down that path. And you go, why do you do that? Don't touch it. Because do you realize how arrogant it is for us to say, American Christianity is messed up, and the churches are messed up, and not realize we're part of the problem? You go, well, then nobody's right. No, we didn't say that. We said, how do you define listening to his word? What will make you listen again? And if you, when you turn around and go, well, John David, you should too. See, if you knew me well enough, you'll realize, no, I believe that I'm part of the problem as well. You go, well, if you're part of the problem, then you have no answers, so every man to your tent. I think, no. All right? Here's the problem. We're looking for too much simplicity. We're looking for a quick answer. God is the one over us. You're not going to get all the answers. You need to tremble at his word. It's a gift when he sends this prophet, even when they're giving message of condemnation. Can you believe that he loves them and that's why he sent Jeremiah? It's not because he hates them. Even when he's telling them disaster's coming. Isn't it amazing we worry so much about whatever? How many in here want cancer, right? How many in here want your house to burn down? How many in here, you know, want to go bankrupt? How many in here want... We worry about all these stuff. Well, here he's telling you, this is what's going to happen. This is a disaster. So listen to my words. And they don't listen. They don't listen. Now, you forget. See, I pick on Joel Osteen. I said, you guys, we, all right, not just you, me. We believe Joel Osteen. We want our best life now. Christians believe our best life is with him and it extends past our death. That's what Christians believe. If you don't believe that, it's really shaky as to whether you've understood what it is to know God. All right? And you say, I'm not there. Good. When I was young, I didn't want Jesus to come back. I wanted to get married. Well, first I wanted to drive a car. All right? And I have all these things. I did not want him to come back. I wanted to go to heaven, never hell. That's terrible. I wanted to go to heaven. But I wanted all the best that this world had to offer first. And you say, oh, well, I hope you repented of that. That's a process. It was a long process to get my eyes heading towards heaven. And you go, oh, my eyes are in heaven. Okay, good. Then you listen to his words, right? See, I think this whole thing of if I could just get in the right thought process, the right church, the right right person on YouTube, the right, then it won't be easy, but I'll be able to make it. And it's like, no, we're not trying to make it. We're trying to walk with God. So in here, all right, they rejected the law here. The other time it was offensive to them. All right, they rejected. What else can you pull out of that verse 19? What accompanies not listening? Jim?
It's hard for me to put it in words, but we get warnings and teaching every week as we come here.
Right.
Can you imagine if we had the same culture that Jeremiah was in, where the persecution you would get and pastor would get, they just thought they didn't need this word of God. They forgot
right. How
God removed them from slavery, from Egypt.
You know, all right. You know I'm honest to a fault. Nicole's going to talk here in a minute. All right. I am very discouraged. I'm very discouraged at times with some of you guys. I'm discouraged with myself and my family, other things. All right. My only hope is that I'm not seeing all of God's word correctly. I trust in him. I trust his eternal purposes. And I trust that as through, I hang on James 1 and Romans 5. To consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, right? I'm going to mix them up. I messed them all up. I mix Romans 5 and James 1 up. It produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect work, meaning hang in all the way. Don't jump out. What's the result of endurance have its perfect result? So that you will be, yes, perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And with that, it doesn't mean, you know, you're going to be holy. Like, no, you've been given God's holiness. That's why you have standing. You're not getting up enough goodness, and finally God goes, good, I'm glad you're my son. I'm glad you're my daughter. You don't do that. That's performing for your salvation. No, you were given the righteousness of Christ, which is the only reason you can keep failing and still feel secure and belong to him. But Christians who fail go right back to him and they lift up Christ. All right, we talk about that. When we say perfect and complete, meaning everything he wanted you to be. In Ephesians 5, it says, trying to find what is acceptable to God. Christians live seeking to please God. But they don't live it like somebody that's always scared. Like, is this what you want? Is this what you want? Are you mad at me? That's not what he saved you to do. Okay? But by continuing trusting his word. James is going to tell you that. James is very blunt. Okay? It's going to talk about your works with that. By continuing listening to his word. How do you know? At the end of my list of verses in here, it says, do not become hearers only, but doers, right? But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, stays right there, right at home, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man, woman, will be blessed in what they do. Okay? Sorry, but I have to endure. This whole thing of, well, is he mad at me? Or are they mad at me? And, you know, sorry. So when I get discouraged, you say, well, all right, it's our fault. It's his fault. It's their fault. No, I need an eternal word that's going to give me life. You do too. Romans 5 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, why are you by faith? Because you cannot make yourself righteous. It's all from the work of Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained introduction into this faith or grace by which we stand. Jesus Christ, right? Christ, Christ, Christ. We're going to sing it in the morning service because Ephesians is all about the preeminence, the place of Christ. Christ is not the one that died on the cross. Yes, yes, he is. Yes, he died on the cross, but there's so much more. He lives now and intercedes for you. You go, no, he died, so the Father accepts me. Yeah, well, if he stayed dead, you're in trouble. What is he doing for you right now? Oh, he's interceding for me. Why is he interceding for you? He's reigning. He's ruling, all right? See that what I'm saying is, back to it, the very reasons we're not listening to his word is the reasons you're not studying more about Christ. We go, oh, yeah, he loves me. Tell me how he loves you. Oh, he's busy preparing a place for me. Tell me what that looks like. Well, I don't know. Tell me what we have. There's more that we have. Forget about what we don't know. Don't. Careful how you speculate, but there's more right in what we don't know. We're looking to expose these attitudes. If you find that when somebody gives you the pure word of God, you find it offensive, you're in trouble, because Jesus said to the devil himself, quoting Deuteronomy, man does not live by bread alone, but lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Right? Jesus didn't use something different than he was telling us to do, which puts a stamp on that Old Testament. He says it in John. He says, you believed in Moses? Well, then you should believe in me, because Moses spoke of me. He says that. And so we got to sit here and think, maybe we want our ears tickled more than we realize. We always look at another church and go, that's the compromising church. Whatever. Maybe they are. But I want to think, you want to be humble enough? Then you have to think, what everything you talk about other people who think they're right but they're not, you need to think, where is that in my life too? It doesn't mean we're all wrong. It means we're all sheep. And the sheep need the shepherd. The word has to cut, like Jim was saying. Okay? So it was offensive. In here, they've rejected my law. They said no, which means somebody has to put it forward to you. I've been afraid. All right? My dad, right or wrong, we've both progressed, and I hope we still progress. But right or wrong, the reason we're down here in Pennsylvania, part of it was we were through the fights up there. It was a pretty complacent group. Nobody coming, nobody leaving. And he felt restless because he said, I can preach on Sunday and golf on Monday and do the rest of my pastoring work. These people aren't moving. They weren't growing. They weren't. He goes, maybe they need another person, blah, 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 blah. He's sitting there thinking, it's not healthy to have a group of supposed Christians that aren't going anywhere. Well, the only way to expose that is to kind of drop a bomb once in a while. That's what you got me doing. I don't want you to follow me. I want you to see how short-sighted we are in unpacking God's word. So what else? Nicole, do you remember what you're going to say?
Well, that it goes beyond not paying attention and rejecting if we go up to the
yes, ma'am.
Beginning of the verse and everything, yes. The disaster upon them, these people, the fruits of their devices.
Yeah.
So this isn't just like they're seeking out other means, other ways. Like, then we go into the next verse, like is the use of frankincense and
the
different offerings that they're having.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
In the thing of like doing it by my own will, my own power, my own means, finding my way there.
Right. Why are you here differently than why she's here, than why he's here, than why I'm here, than why Pastor John's here? See, now be careful, because you got to play God to answer that. You got to say, well, John David's here for this, and Sandy's here for this, and Brian's here for this, and I got it. Don't play God. But you can't help yourself. You already have opinions about yourself, right? Good. Let's not judge anybody else. Why are you here? What are you doing here? What are you worshiping here? What are you valuing here? What are you trying to build? What are you trying to accomplish? Now, my point isn't, all right, fine, you're right, everybody else is wrong. If everybody else is different than you, how would you move people to get to the same right place that you are? You go, well, I didn't say I'm right. Stop it. Do you realize by saying you're a sinner, if you're not careful, all you're doing is saying, I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, so you live your life, I'll live my life? There has to be a final word that's guiding us somewhere. Whose word is it? Whose word is it? So see, what we're looking for is not, well, Pastor John. See, what happens, Pastor John's not always right, Pastor John David's not always right. Remember Pastor Bob, Pastor Tom, Pastor Mike, Pastor Mark. Keep going with all the names, all right? All right? They're not all right. I got it. But what happens if churches aren't heading in any one direction? What happens? Say it. It'll fall down. What's happening in churches? And you know what the problem is? It isn't just the pastors, all right? See, what I was saying is I can't ever tell. Some people in here say, stop all this philosophical talk. Stop talking in circles. I don't know what you mean. Just give us the word. Well, I'm trying to show you these verses to say, I think we're not much different than these people. We don't even hear the word when we hear it. Then I go, all right, let me read you all these articles from all these other people. And after a while, remember my Ken and Barbie sermons? I think we just think, you got your article schmarticles, I got my article schmarticles. And meaning your people, my people, it's just noise. You can't even hear. But why are they talking about pastors burning out? You're right, pastors are jerks. Where did the pastors come from? The pews. And they go, well, then nobody has an answer. Well, now we're in a big, oh, wait, what's the answer? Not one specific person on YouTube or a final trustworthy church or perfect pastors. What's your answer? In the 1 Peter, all flesh is like grass, right? The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God abides forever. And this was the word that was preached to you. Therefore, like newborn babes, long for, crave the spiritual milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. It says if, and that in the Greek is a since you have tasted the goodness of the Lord. What do you have a lot of professing Christians saying? I'm struggling to believe that God is good. And that's why we're slowing down. I've told a bunch of you, I'm not looking. Some of us need new things. We're at all different places. It's a one-room schoolhouse. Many of us need to go back over the things we think that we believe. Not looking to pull you a fast one. There's not a secret hidden code in the Bible. Just use what you got. Right in here, the fruit of their plans. So she's saying, and she's right. Oh, look at that. That's all I'm asking you to do. Look at the verse. Look at the context. Yep, you need the commentaries. Yep, you need discipline training. That's why, see, in a backhand way, when you go, if John says it doesn't, he's not always right, got it. You've got seminary-trained preachers in here. It doesn't mean that they're right. There's plenty of seminary-trained preachers going wrong. But if you're not careful, you're saying, if I don't get what they're saying, they put their pants on the same way we do, all right? No, there's disciplined study with some of these things that we're losing. We're starting to create pastors that don't need the discipline training anymore. They're just being charismatic, and I don't mean the gifts. They're winning us with their personality. You don't want pastors winning you with their personality. You want pastors winning you with the trustworthiness of God's word. That's what you want. Because otherwise it's just noise, and you're going to be offering up frankincense, right? See, all the essential oils are in here, right? And the sweet cane from a distant land, your burnt offerings are not acceptable, your sacrifice are not pleasing to me. I'm going to think through that. Here, just one or two more, just to show you this progression. And these notes are online. You can look them up. They're not inspired. But there is something in here. So go to Jeremiah 11:8. Read it. Yep. Mm-hmm. Stubbornness. Right. Covenant, yes. Whoa. Can you add anything in there? They didn't listen. Why? Tell me, just give me a little more. Some of it's the same, but look, you're looking for what part's different. Covenant. Now we've got a promise. A covenant is a binding agreement between God and his people. See, now all of a sudden we stop focusing on I'm not getting, I'm not, it's like, well, God's getting something out of this too. According to this verse, he is faithful to what he said. We're the ones that are not. So think on covenant. Before you go, I don't know, I'm a little disenchanted with God, or I don't like this church, I like that church, I like that. A covenant holds us in one place. Here's the deed. Here's the words. Here's the agreement. Anything else you pull out of here? Taryn, go. Yeah. It was kind of like Herod, say it.
It was kind of like Herod in the Old Testament where...
Or Pharaoh. Pharaoh,
yes. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, no, go.
Where God hardened his heart, but that's kind of what he already wanted. And it's same here. I mean... They follow the stubbornness of their evil hearts. They wanted that, and they reap the benefits of that. Or not the benefits in this case.
Right,
but.
Which is where Jonathan was going in Romans 1. Even though they knew it as God, they did not honor him as God. And you read the end of Romans 1. See, what we're looking for is if you can get indicted by the word of God, then there's hope for you. If you dance out and you go, well, I'm not that. Thank God I'm not that. You know, that reminds us, right, of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Remember that? Remember their prayers? Where the Pharisee said, I thank you that I'm not like that one over there and like that one. And you go, oh, no, that's way too proud and arrogant. But the point is, see, if you can start seeing how what these Israelites, right? You know, all his comments about, you know, I'm thankful I'm not a Gentile and all that stuff, or, you know, woman or whatever. Sorry. You know, we're so sensitive to that kind of stuff. I mean, go back and look at who couldn't go into the tabernacle. Stan couldn't. He already has to wrestle with whether God loves him in his condition. No, but then he reads in that verse and goes, nope, nobody that can't, you know, all these physical things can't go into the temple. And you go, what? I got it. But I said, could you live back there and still give glory to God? That's what I'm saying. When you run to Jesus, see, the problem is you take all the parts that you want from Jesus and you think those people that we're talking about here had to say God is great and God is good. So now we go, don't go, because of Jesus, I'm fine. I think there was room for Stan back then too. But Stan had to be fine with God saying there's something else going on here that's bigger than me. You want to speak to that? Come on. Here. Yep, there you go. Oh, thanks. Come on.
I don't like being late, but my chair broke this morning heading out the door. Yeah. And so we caught Tony Evans extra long.
Right.
And
good to see you.
He had mentioned something that I hadn't really thought about, and I missed the verse that he was going to, but it was about Satan being the accuser, Jesus being the advocate. But the Old Testament...
Satan being the accuser and Jesus being the advocate?
Yes,
that's
correct.
That's Zechariah.
But then somewhere in that context, he mentioned about what God was judging us for was our story, the plan that he had for our lives and our prayers to Christ or our prayers to God were like related to, like we often pray for things that we want rather than about what God wants for us. And so what we'll be judged by isn't just whether we're in Christ or not, but also the works that we've done for him, the things that God wanted us to do, and so forth. So I don't want to take that whole plan thing too far. But where he was going with it was that it made me think about prayer and that there's something in one sense, I don't want to say this in a way that sounds blasphemous, but there's something greater than the truth. And that's how that truth applies to us and what we do with the truth for what God wants to do in our lives through his truth and through his knowledge, that the things that you're talking about with sanctification and our purpose together here, it's not just that we know what the truth is, but it's how we respond to that truth and then let it work in our lives.
Okay. And if I'm not twisting where you're going unfairly, when he's saying something greater than the truth, see, we're assuming God's word is truth, not mine, not yours. God's word is truth, right? I think I've been afraid, and we've talked about this other times, that I'm afraid that we want the truth for our own purposes, our own security, our own vindication against you and you and you. That's why we say, well, I don't mean to judge, but, well, just throw that out. We all make judgments, so just say it. Just, all right, this is what I'm thinking, all right? And the whole reason we don't say it is because we're afraid they're going to throw us out or they're not going to think we're a good Christian. We end up with more fear of man than we ever had before, even while we say we had the truth, okay? Maybe, and this is what I think where he's heading, where do you fit into God's plan? Where does that truth help you to be faithful with your part of God's plan now? That's what I was going after in the Old Testament. Meaning, you go back through my whole list of verses here, and eventually, last week, we came to 1 Peter 1:10. Now, I'm coming back to Jeremiah, so if you go with me, keep your finger in Jeremiah. 1 Peter 1:10. As to this salvation, all right, though you have not seen him, you love him, Jesus. Though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. All right? So that's one thing. I'm asking you, do you love God? If you say yes, good. Then you're heading in this direction. Your heart is sensitive, like the men on the road to Emmaus. That's what we talked about last week, too. You remember that? Did not our hearts burn within us? You go, yeah, because they were really Christians. Yeah, they were really Christians who forgot God's word. That's why they were in the mess they were in. Yeah, I started in 8. I'm getting, yep, I need a little running start to get up to my verse. All right, they were Christians or whatever, believers who forgot God's words. But what were we looking for? That your hearts would be warmed when you finally hear God's word. If you walk away, see, Jim's saying we get corrected. That's what aches me. Why do I get discouraged? I think we're not quite hearing it, which means I think I need a little more pressure. I don't think I'm God. I don't think I'm always right. I can't take all the heat that comes back sometimes. You go, well, we won't give you heat. No, we give each other heat often without giving heat. We just kind of tune it out. We don't listen. We get bored. Because what's the goal? Living by the word of God. That's why you're not saved by your works, but in Matthew 25, in the parable of the sheep and the goats, what are you judged by? What you did, your works. You're going to be judged by your works, but you're not saved by your works. Well, then you must figure out, if I'm not saved by my works, then how could you judge me by my works? Because, here's the pithy statement, faith works. Faith works. Well, I tell you, if you're scared of me, what will you do? You'll run away from me. You'll put up your defenses, right? If you believe that I'm dangerous, right? My sister Anna, right? She got a rattlesnake at her back door yesterday. So she sent all these pictures to us of red diamond, blah, blah, blah. They went and looked in the snake groups for it. I can all show you. It's all fun. But it was right. It's running across her sandals on the back thing, right? Her husband's gone. You know, he's the snake handler kind of guy. He loves that stuff. But he was gone. So a neighbor comes in and chops his head off kind of thing. All right? But there it is. Right there. Right, you know, inches from their little babies and stuff. Right? All right? If you're afraid, you act a certain way. You believe that her Facebook post got millions of comments. And they were all like emojis and nope, 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 nope. Right? Very few people said, I love that. Okay? Well, that, see, faith acts, right? And what I've told you, see, I've gotten to the point where I'm afraid when you go, I trust you, John David. I trust you, Pastor John. I said, today you trust me, tomorrow you don't. Where will you and I do better? If you trust him. And if I trust him. That's where we'll do better. You know why? Because you're holding his hand. If you hold his hand, then you and I can make it. Right? If you don't hold his hand, then we're going to go up and down, like Ephesians says, the surf of the sea. Araceli, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking it's because I never used to say what the truth about everything.
Right.
Because there was a scare. But nobody put bread and butter on my table. And if I know the word of God, and I'm sure what I'm saying is the truth, I care what Jesus, what God thinks of me, not what everybody thinks of me.
There you go.
No matter how they feel, even if I'm alone, I'd rather be alone than with the wrong company and follow Jesus.
Right.
And follow God.
So, and that, look what it's saying here in 1 Peter 1. It's saying this, in this you greatly rejoice. Just like Araceli's saying, even though now for a little while, if necessary, see, I backed up again. Verse 6, if you didn't follow me. You have been distressed by various trials, right? All this hardship, you keep going. Why? So that the proof of your faith. Faith where? I'm sorry, let me back up again. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to God's great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God. See? Not I'm the only one that has to look out for me. Who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. That. I'm glad. If you get, there's nothing sinful about you being excited about another car or about a kid, and you go, a kid is better than a car, fine. A dog, a house, that you got better. So, do you like COVID again? Yeah, see, you go, why do you say the C word? Okay, because, see, some of us are like, whatever. Other ones go, oh, no. See, and this is bigger than COVID, right? This is bigger than the rest, all right? So it says, so that the proof of your faith, verse 7, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Wait, that sounds like James 1. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces endurance. Look at verse 7. It's the same thing. Romans 5, the same thing. Romans 5, I started to say that. We read Romans 5, introduction by grace into this faith in which we stand, and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God, and not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Look at Romans 5. Look at James 1. Look at 1 Peter 1. So that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire. How much more can you take? It may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what Araceli is saying. She's saying, I got to get to the point where my head is screwed up, my life is screwed up, I don't know, but here's what I know. I want to be with Jesus. And I want his word, and I want to follow him. That's what I want. And though you have not seen him, verse 8, you love him. Are you there? See, I'm afraid most professing Christians can't live inside of verse 8. Honestly. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Obtaining as the outcome of your faith, the end result of your faith. What do you get? The salvation of your souls. Huh. Oh, wait, here's verse 10. This is why I had you turn here. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. You know what that means? Those prophets weren't going to get all this themselves. They were looking ahead. They were living for something beyond themselves. Look, made careful searches and inquiries, just like we're doing here. We're making careful searches, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them, verse 12, they were not serving themselves, but you. We're talking about the prophets, right? 400 years ago, 1,000 years ago, prophets. They made careful searches so that you, sitting here. I hope you're thankful for our country. I'll divide this line right in this church pretty tight. You know, there's a line in here. Our country's messed up, right? Are you thankful for anything that you got from George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin? They were saved. They were not. No, I don't think a bunch of them were. And now you go back and forth in all these biographies. I'm reading biographies about the biographies, all right, that are saying, well, you can argue all day long, but I'm saying there's something that you should be thankful for even as things are falling apart. Be thankful. You're benefiting from something that we can't even touch. That's what we're saying in here. Now, here's where I was going after. Are you willing to give your whole lives for something you're never going to quite see, but the people after you will? That now we're heading towards, I think, where Stan was going. There's truth, but you don't grab the truth for yourself and your own purposes. There's something beyond that. You play your part in his eternal plan. You play now. They played then. And if Jesus doesn't come back, you being faithful now is helping his kingdom to come, his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven for those that will come 500 years from now that will never know your name or any of us. That's right. Because your joy is here. Now look, it was revealed they were not serving themselves but you in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Those who preach the gospel, now we're back to a very human element. These guys aren't all getting visions and dreams. They're getting men who are giving the word of God to them. Look, through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Meaning, you're all looking up there for something that's supernatural, and you've been given the supernatural right down here from God orchestrating to have the prophets of old, and now you've been given the gospel by other men. Now live it. Live it. Okay? Jeez, I went through a whole morning, and I got a running start. Well, some of you will be very happy to hear that I'm gone next week, so Tim will be here next week, and I'll be back in 2 weeks. I'm not done yet. I still got a few minutes, and then I have to go beyond a few minutes. All right. No, but now can you remember some of what we were talking about? What would show that we love God? And it's okay. See, here's where I'm telling you the purposes of Sunday school. This is why I slow down. I think it's more important that we grow together than just two or three people get something and run away with it. We're building a church here, not individuals. Every healthy church should be doing that. They're a part of the universal church, the people of God, if they're true. God knows those that are his. But this isn't about everybody getting on board. This is about, you know, right? I'm living by Ephesians 4, 15, and 16, making the youth group memorize that verse, right? You've heard it over and over. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ. If you're a Christian, you're going to follow Christ. Now, what's that going to include? Just from our little discussion today, what will loving God, following Christ include? Sandy, what are you thinking? Nope, just say what you're thinking right as you're listening.
It starts with submission to him and being willing to take up our cross and follow him in the respect that if trials come your way, you're willing to submit to them and be patient to know that he loves me enough to take me through this, to learn maybe something from it, to move along in my completion, as we were talking.
James 1.
Yeah. So.
Did you hear that? See, I've thought about this a long time. Well, I'm trying to figure out my role, right? When I was a kid, I knew my role. When I was a kid, we respected the pastors. We respected churches. We didn't expect them to be perfect. We didn't expect other Christians to be perfect because we weren't following the other Christians. We're following Christ. That's what tied the churches together. That's what made people listen to pastors. That's what made when pastors messed up, you went, ah, that hurts. And you didn't go, I don't trust anybody anymore, because you were trusting God. But see, now you won't know. You won't know who you're trusting until it's taken away from you. Well, does you have to wait till everything's taken away for you to say, why don't I just examine where the source of my trust is? We called it last week a spiritual checkup. A spiritual checkup. What would loving God include? Staying with him, being faithful through whatever came and saying, I don't understand. This is ripping me apart. My head's in a mess, but there's something beyond me. There's someone beyond me. How dare I say just because I praised him when it was going well, and now I'm all drowning in here. Okay, I'm drowning. That doesn't mean that he's still unpraiseworthy. It means I got a lot to learn. Submission. Where are we going with this? This is the question I was going to ask you. Because we were working our way forward. If we want to love God, well, he said it's going to be following Christ. What does being a disciple imply or necessitate? But I want you to think. So either grab my notes. I'll do a little more. I don't find it bad to repeat. I'm trying to curb anybody in here that's feeling like I can't breathe. If he talks about this one more time, I'm done. All right? That's what I'm trying to curb and saying, come on, guys. There's a lot in here. If you will get this, it will ripple to these other questions. All of a sudden you're going, well, obviously, here's some more. So what does it say about our following Jesus if we're not actively helping others follow Jesus? Oh, well, what does making disciples of Jesus include? If you're to be a disciple maker, well, what would that include? What would be some of the things stopping us or getting in the way? Kind of, we just started. I got 15 more of those verses, and that was just Jeremiah, and then Jonathan's right. I went to five or six in the New Testament to show the same thing. What would be some of the things blocking us, just like they were blocked from hearing God's word, from cultivating, from strengthening, like Sandy said, what following Jesus looks like and helping others to follow Jesus? Here's where we're going. See you in 2 weeks. Lord Jesus, thank you, where hearts are warmed. Not because we like getting chewed apart, or maybe we don't even follow it, but we say, I don't want anything that's getting in the way of me hearing God's voice, knowing that it's his. It's harder and harder to talk on the phone now because my phone always says possible scam. And sometimes it's a real person and I don't know which one to answer. God, would you help us to realize our own hearts and even others? Others aren't always trying to deceive us. We're all looking for answers. But Father, if we're not careful, we're all looking and never able to hear. You have given us so much. So help us not to want it just for our own security. Heaven's not here. It's there. But you have promised. You've promised to give us all we need to follow you faithfully and to look for your return. And so would you help us through our tears and through our fears, through our seasons of life, would you, Father, would you strengthen the faith? Would you get the glory?
as your people hear your word and then live according to it. We come in Jesus' name.